Good morning, church family. I hope everyone's doing okay. This is our second week of just doing an all virtual type service, and we're basically going bare bones here, trying to make sure that we're being thoughtful with everyone's safety and making sure everybody has the time they need to recover. I wanted to touch base with you this morning, just give you a little bit of update. I feel like I'm feeling much better, so thank you for your prayers. Marie's feeling better. The boys are doing well, and I know that we've got some other people in the church who are doing better than we are, and then I think we've got some in the church who are struggling a little bit more. So please continue to pray for everybody who's sick right now. And just lift them up, that their bodies be healed. And that kind of leads us into where we are this morning. I wanted to go to Psalm 103 and just read the first five verses to you and kind of walk through it today, because this is something that really blessed me about, a few days ago. I was laying in the bed and this set of scripture came to mind, and I looked it up and read through it, and I thought, Lord, thank you so much for your promises. So Psalm 103, and I'm going to start at verse 1 and just read down through verse 5, and it says this. It's a Psalm of David, and it's primarily about the Lord's mercies. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And so when I read through that, immediately, of course, the Matt Redman 10,000 Reasons song that was playing whenever this broadcast started, came to mind, and that's why I picked that song to play as a little bit of an intro there. But he starts out, David here, and of course David had one of the most difficult pasts of any major Bible figure. You know, he went from basically being the last rung in his family, the forgotten one that wasn't even brought before the prophet to meet this holy man originally, to the king of Israel, a giant killer, a man of renown, and a man of war, a man of music, a man with incredible talents and giftings. Then, of course, we know the story of Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba, and how David had seduced Bathsheba and then got her pregnant, had her husband put on the front line of the army to almost ensure his death. Uriah did die. And then through all that, David and Bathsheba lost the life of their son that was born out of adultery, who was conceived out of adultery, who was born out of wedlock and adultery and all those things. And David really paid a high price. And David seems to be one of the figures in the Bible, much like Peter, in that he had some ups and downs, that life was not always rosy for him, but he loved God, and God honored him for some reason more than others because of that love and that passion that David had. When the Bible says that David danced before the Lord, he was in a loincloth. You know, we really can't understand that, a king or a presidential figure, not just waltzing or ballroom dancing, but this guy was out there with no shirt on. He was in a basically underwear type clothing, and he was dancing and beating the air as hard as he could when they ushered in the Ark of the Covenant. And that type of passion, you see, God can honor that. Sometimes it's misguided, but God can honor it. And so here, David starts it off with, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. You know, David understood where his source came from. His source of power, his source of peace, his source of wealth, his source of health, his source of provision. He knew all that came from God. And so he starts out here, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. You know, we seem to think that, you know, God, while God doesn't need our blessings because he's ultimately blessed, God does desire for us to worship him and to glorify him. And so whenever we praise him, we're doing just that. And it's pleasing to God when we're not ashamed to praise him for what he's doing in our lives. And then David goes on there in verse 2. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. And I can't tell you how many times as a Christian I forget the benefits of being a Christian. We're not promised that everything's going to be easy. We're not promised that things aren't going to be tough. We're not promised anything like that. But what we are promised is that God is there and he is our provider. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And so there's times in life where we forget, especially when things get hard. We get into the poor me's, you know, Lord, why is this happening to me? Why did this trouble come upon me and my family? Why are my children behaving in this way? And all these things. But we can't forget his benefits that say, raise a child up in the way they should go, and when they're older, they shall not depart from it. You know, that's a promise from God. That's a benefit to being a child of God, that we have promises for our children. And so here David again says, bless the Lord, forget not all his benefits. Basically, meaning, don't forget all that comes with being a child of God. You know, the other day, Landon got hurt, and I was looking at him, and I was overwhelmed by how much I loved him. And Polly, too, especially when they're little like that. You have a sense of duty to protect them, to guide them, to be there for them. And I looked at him, and I thought, man, I just love this kid. And then I thought, well, you know, my love is so lacking compared to the love of God. I wonder how much he loves me, you know, and in the galactic time frame, I guess I would be a lot younger than Landon as compared to God. And no matter how many times they get in trouble, no matter how many times I'm upset with them, I still love my kids. And I think God loves his children, those who are his. He loves and he provides for and he cares for. And the rest of the world who's not yet made the choice to become his, the Bible says he so loved the world. You know, he loved the world so much that he sent his son Jesus. So here, David, he goes in, he says, forget not all his benefits. And then he starts listing some of these benefits. He says, he forgives all your iniquities. You know, that word iniquities, it can best be translated two ways. One way is twisting, and another way is perversion. And I'm not just talking about sexual perversion. I'm talking about how people will take what God says and twist it, much like what happened in the garden. Satan took the words of God, twisted them to confuse Eve, and then Eve and Adam decided to sin and disobey God. And so an iniquity is a sin, but it's also a perversion of the truth. It's a bending the word of God to meet us instead of allowing his word to bend us to meet his holy standards. And then here's the next one. Forgives all your diseases. Forgives all your iniquities, heals all your diseases. So not only does he forgive sin and our way of twisting things, but he heals diseases. And sometimes we don't believe that in the modern day, that he can heal a disease. But I believe that. I believe that he's been fighting for me this whole time. I believe he's been fighting for everybody else who's sick. And I believe he's actively healing our diseases. And so that's one of the benefits I don't think during this time we can afford to forget. We cannot afford to forget that he's the God who heals diseases. Then it says, redeems our life from destruction. Think about what it means to redeem something, like a coupon code or something like that. You have this code, and with it you get points, or you get money back, or you get an item. You know, like if you're in a raffle and you have the winning ticket, you know, if you take that ticket forward, you redeem the prize. And here the Bible says that the Lord redeems us from destruction, because given our own ways and our own methods, we're going to go right toward the path of destruction every time. And so he redeems us from that, not only spiritually where we'll get to go to heaven, but he also redeems us from that mindset that would have us to be bent toward evil. And that kind of goes along with the iniquities, the twisting, the perversion, you know. And then it says this, and I love this part, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Think about God putting a physical crown on your head. And when it comes on your head, nothing but love and kindness and mercy flows onto you. And that's what he does. He crowns us with that. He crowns us with the very thing we do not deserve. He gives it to us. And then the thing that we do deserve, which is death and destruction, he redeems us from it. And instead of hating us, he loves us. And instead of giving us justice, he gives us mercy. Man, I'll tell you, that's a great father that we have. And when I think, you know, I think about my kids, is this not what we do for our children all the time when they mess up and they make mistakes? You know, God is our heavenly father, our heavenly parent. You know, and the Bible says that he corrects us and he loves those whom he corrects and chastises. But the bottom line is he loves us. He doesn't hate us. He loves us. And as long as we put our faith in him, he's going to continue to fight on our behalf. Then the last two lines here in verse number 5, it says this, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. So not only does he give us promises in his word, but he also sustains us with food to eat, water to drink, and gives us a good testimony to give. You know, I was talking to a preacher the other day, and we were praying for each other over the phone. He was helping me pray over the church, and just love this man. And anyway, we started praying, and as I was praying for him, I just began to thank God that he gives us a good name even when we don't deserve it. And I don't know about you, but there's been some things in my life I've done that I'm not proud of, and I don't deserve the favor of God. But for some reason, he's deemed me worthy of his favor and his grace and his mercy and his love and his kindness and his tenderness and all those things. He's long-suffering with me. And he gives us a good name even when we don't deserve it. But here it says he satisfies our mouths with good things. And then it says, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I think when I think about an eagle, I think about it's the supreme bird in the sky. It's the ultimate hunter. You know, I watched a documentary one day about how these golden eagles actually hunt wolves over in like Mongolia and places. They've trained them to hunt wolves. And it's an amazing thing to see an eagle swoop down out of the sky and subdue a wolf, a big, strong wolf. And so the eagle is not only a supreme hunter and kind of lord of the sky, it's also known for its great eyesight. It's also known for its wisdom. And it's also known as a symbol of strength. And, you know, like the United States, our national bird is the bald eagle. And a lot of countries use eagles and other animals to represent who they are. But this eagle kind of soars above everything else. And here the Bible says that we'll be renewed like the eagles. So when an eagle's healthy, it can fly and fly and fly. It can go higher than other birds. And it certainly can take care of business. And so whenever I think about this scripture, about how our youth is going to be renewed like the eagles, I just thank the Lord that he would give us strength like that. And so today, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to know that the Lord loves you. And if you've not made a choice to put your faith in him, you need to do that as soon as possible. You need to do that because we're not promised anything. If anything has reminded me of that, it's been this battle with the coronavirus for the past week and a half that my family's had. You know, it really puts things into perspective as to what's important and the priorities we have in our lives. So if you don't know him, would you make the decision today? And if you do know him, would you make the decision to just continue to lay all your cares down at his feet? Let us pray. Lord, I love you and I thank you so much for our church family. And I just ask right now in Jesus' name that you reach into every home, anywhere this broadcast is being listened to. And I ask that you touch hearts and minds and allow them to see the truth that you love them and that you want this relationship with them. And like David, I pray that we all can come to a place to where, despite our many failings, we can say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And let's forget not all his benefits. Lord, I love you and I praise you. I thank you for these people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.